Welcome back. We are going to start the last section of Unit 10, the assurance of the critical thinker. And this is for the Christian and Leaders Institute. It's class called Reading and Writing for College Students. And we're in Unit 10, Writing and the Critical Thinker. Has it ever happened to you that you want to write, you know, you don't want to write because you think your work is going to be rejected? It happens to all of us. Don't worry. It's difficult. No one likes rejection anyway. And for those of us who have never written it, it's more difficult when we're talking about especially scholastic projects because we are going to be graded on that, right? It makes it more difficult. It's a little bit easier oftentimes to have people be criticized our behavior or words because our future doesn't always depend on it, like if we're doing college writing. But in any case, when we're writing, whatever it is, whether it's for college or whether it's for something else, whether it's for fun, sometimes we just don't want to be rejected. We don't want to let it be known what we've written. It's a very personal thing to reveal many times what we are thinking and how we're thinking in our writing. So any writer has to have thick skin and very thick skin. But it's really not about, we really don't need a thick skin because of we're just trying to, you know, make our conscience feel better and we don't want to avoid criticism. We need thick skin because we need to feel confident and comfortable and know that despite the criticism, we are writing well and we're writing with integrity and we're writing as true critical thinkers. You know what? And if you write as a true critical thinker, the fact is, your grade's going to be pretty good. So don't worry about your grades. Just think critically, and then you won't have to worry about the grades because the critical thinking is what the professor is actually looking for to grade you on when they ask you to write. So be a critical thinker, and you won't have to worry about the grades. And your skin will become thicker just because of your critical thinking. So what type of it should be stated that poor writing shames us. So what are some characteristics we need to avoid of poor writing? That show that we're not critical thinkers like we need to be. Well, many times a thesis or argument is repetitious, it's prompted, it doesn't show any indication of where the rest of the part the paper will go. The thesis is basically the proposal of what you're going to be writing about. I want to write about snow because snow is white and the snow is pretty, but I know that the snow goes away. Well, that's not a very good thesis because it tells us nothing. It's kind of repetitious, right? And it really doesn't tell us where it's leading. Simple summaries are relied upon rather than integrative analysis. It's really that critical relationship between concepts that the professors are going to be looking for. We don't want you to point out the resistance, just a relationship. Don't want you to point out that there's something, a relationship exists. We want you to tell us why that relationship exists, how it exists, where it exists, why it exists, who it exists with, and all those who, what, where, when, how, and why questions. So if you remember a few lessons ago, someone wrote about Ephesians 1 that some very general statements that were not expounded upon. Our God is great. Our God is awesome. Well, great, our God's awesome, but how is he awesome? give me some details how that passage shows that God is awesome. And then describe how that passage affects you. So a simple summary of like that is not going to cut it when it comes to college writing. Pure and simple. You'll get a bad grade because it's not critical thinking. There is no order or poor order in the summaries or the arguments or the evidence, or it's just the general organization is poorly ordered. It doesn't flow well from one topic to the other. There's a chronology lacking of if it's time dependent. There is a no segues between the paragraphs that are the segues are weak. You need to have a good order. You need to take time to order your thoughts and order your writing in such a way that it flows easily from one topic to another. You're presenting an argument. I am going to show that blank does A does B. But then in the end, you show that you don't really show how that relationship exists between A and B. And so therefore you present, it's basically like you leave something hanging. The sky is blue. And nitrogen makes blue when it's refracted by light. But you're leaving out something there. Well, the sky is blue because the nitrogen in it refracts light in the blue spectrum. So that is a argument that is fulfilled by the relationship to the other parts related to it. There's a heavy use of abstractions or words that are used to sound like critical thinking, but they're really not indicative of analytical thought. I was, as I said, in feminist theory class. I had to take it for one of my postdoctoral studies that I did. And one of the words that they use that I was introduced to in a feminist theory class was something called heteronormative. Now that simply means that heterorelations, the normal heterosexual relations, and it was used with a connotation that heteronormative was bad. Now, the Bible says that God made male and female. He made them for a reason, to reproduce themselves, for the relationship in marriage of the man not being alone, for the different support of the woman by the man and the support of the man by the woman. It is because we're made slightly differently, but very much similarly. And so the biblical teaching of male and female being the created order was diminished by this very abstract sounding name called heteronormative. It is a trick that many people use. Even the sciences, we often talk in very abstract words that to many people sound very foreign. And it's not necessarily a good thing many times, because we could always say something very more direct rather than so abstract. And then another sign, so that's a sign of weak writing when we use abstractions. Another sign is that the conclusions are not properly supported by the evidence. You can have the premise be valid, even true, but if it doesn't logically support the conclusion, it's not good. And a conclusion can be proven even incomplete or invalid when using other scenarios. So make sure your logic is very sound and your conclusions follow directly from your presuppositions that are stated in your evidence that is fully developed, so that you can come show that your conclusion is valid. Your conclusion may be valid, but if you haven't given the support for that evidence, support for that conclusion, then the paper itself and the writing is invalid. And it is not a well thought out paper to do that way. But if you insist on writing poorly, well, you probably should have thick skin like this alligator. Why? Because there's going to be plenty of people to criticize it, and you will have no end of criticism of it. Writing poorly is really no excuse. It doesn't communicate well. It doesn't show you in a good light, and it does not show your integrity as a Christian leader to be good and intent and doing everything to honor and glory of Christ Jesus as well. So if you're a critical thinker, you're going to avoid some things. And these are things you need to avoid in the pre-writing process. Start planning ahead. You're going to avoid, poor and unclear writing by following the proper steps in the pre-writing process. I said that wrong. So please plan ahead when you select a topic. Ensure that it's the right topic that you like within the context of the assignment. Read the instructions. Please read the instructions. It's right to engage in for the particular purpose within the confines of the instructions given. Understand what your goals and initiatives are in writing the paper. They need to be very clear. I suggest you write them out. Knowing those, are you going to be able to plan your paper better and organize it better? And you're going to be able to point out the things that are your key concepts. You're going to be able to prioritize those concepts. You're going to then be able to set out your arguments better. And then when you go to in your reorganization, when you go through the revision and drafting process over and over, and you're going to keep doing that till the chronology makes sense. You're going to determine how you're going to gather evidence. You're going to go to the internet. What sources you're going to look at? Your own library, look at books. You're going to talk to people, do interviews. What you're going to do for sources? Are these the best sources you could use, and where can you find them? Are they going to be credible sources? Always be engaged in active acquisition of information. It's a never-ending process. Keep doing it. And don't assume that just because it's a reputable source, everything it says is true. That's not always the case. And to be a critical thinker, we have to be questioning everything. And the same thing is going to occur when we're writing. Every source we have, we need to question, is it valid? Is it not? Every piece of that information that we get, is it valid? Is it not? Or is it not? You have to examine it, parse it, validate it in every step of the writing process for every source that you have, for every argument that you have. You have to show that your information is showing your point, showing that the argument is going to showing what you want to show, and that it is a good reasoned argument. And you should always, always, always be questioning whatever you've written and the information you had. Go back. Is this the way I should best put it? Is this the best information to put here? Is this the information that would best convey the thought that I'm trying to say? Is there some better information I could use? Is there a better way to put it? Is there a better way to write it? Is there a better word to use here? All those are questions that you can ask as you're writing and revising your paper. You need to look thoroughly at the evidence. Don't jump to conclusions. Always ask yourself, is there more evidence? Is there more evidence that I need? Is there more valid evidence? And always be open to the possibility that there may be more evidence and other arguments that you're unaware of. You may need to incorporate those into your paper. Maybe your professor will see that hole and say, oh, you should have incorporated that. Examine the specificity of the argument. Is it too specific? Is it too general? Is it too so broad that you can't really cover everything you need in that paper sufficiently, and the limit, the size limits of the paper, whether it be so many words or so many pages. Look at your argument. Is it too general or too specific? Are there alternative explanations that are valid that you're not presenting or you haven't thought about? Are you providing evidence to support those, your explanations? Are there evidence to support the alternative explanations? There is always a possibility that alternative explanations may be available, but keep in mind that there are always going to be cases of other hypotheses that are equally valid based on the observation, presuppositions, and evidence used by other people. So just be aware that even though you write something and it may be true and valid, there may be other sources that you are equally valid to your reasoning. So be humble about what you write. Be aware of tautologies and truisms. Well, these are fancy words. What do they mean? Well, let me tell you. A tautology is a statement that repeats itself. Redundancies need to be avoided unless it adds directly to a piece of writing. There are very, very few times where you're going to use redundant words or redundant phrases that mean the same thing. This is an example. When about asked about the weather will be tomorrow, you could say it's either going to rain or it's not going to rain. Well, the answer can never be disproved. It's correct, but it's neither provable nor improvable. The weather will be either one or the other, rainy or not rainy. A truism is something that says it's self-evident. The example of a truism is a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Avoid them. Just avoid these tautologies and these truisms. It's best to write in your own writing. Truisms are often common phrases that we use, often colloquialisms or this one here, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, is actually a proverb. I forget where it's from, but it's not from the Bible. It's from another culture. And so, but it's a truism. Of course, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. That's obviously true. So try to avoid these in your writings, if at all possible. Don't oversimplify things. Don't avoid alternative explanations. You need to talk about the alternative explanations. Most writing will want you to look at the other alternative explanations of things. A oversimplification is very shallow and very narrow, and it is not a hallmark of critical thinking. Both depth and breadth of thinking are hallmarks of critical thinking. To not have those is not critical thinking. Try to poke holes in your arguments. Try it. Have your friends do it. It's better they do it than your professor does it, right? Or the people that are reading your work afterwards that would criticize it. Let them poke holes in it. Let them be critical in the good sense of critical. Let them be, give you responses whether what you're writing is valid or not. After you make sure you read plenty of sources, you understand your sources, embrace the knowledge from your sources, and then decide. Once you've got a sufficient reading and understanding and knowledge, then you can start to begin your argument. Gather your evidence, arrange it into your skeletal form, start adding your facts and your figures to it, your arguments. Make sure you understand the strengths and weaknesses of your arguments and how you want to approach each argument. When you make an argument, there could be several approaches, and one may be stronger or weaker than another. You could say, for instance, I'm going to show that I would argue that watermelons are best when they are picked in August. And then you can start to gather your data and say, well, watermelons are best because they're picked in August, because August is the hottest month of the year. Maybe that's the way you're going to approach the argument. Watermelons are best when they're picked in August because watermelons are sweetest in August. Maybe another argument would be watermelons are have more water in August. All these things are ways that you could approach that very simple argument of watermelons are picked best in August. Just bear in mind that our arguments must be valid and reasonable, and you have to support all your conclusions and arguments by valid premises and valid evidence. Break up the argument into its constituents, or your hypothesis into its constituents. Analyze relationships among and between all the different various parts of the argument. You can compare and contrast cause and effect, ranking and drawing inferences. For instance, in my dissertation, the argument was that the pathway for metabolism called the one carbon pathway has two sides to it, the mitochondrial side and the cytoplasmic side. My argument was that the cytoplasmic side of this pathway supplied most of the one carbon units, we call them, that were needed for cells to divide and proliferate, as well as to have the instructions to divide and proliferate. And so we would divide that argument up, that hypothesis up, into what happened in the one mitochondrial pathway, what happened in the part, the pathways that will be important for cell dividing and proliferation, and what will be important for cell control. Those are different ways to divide up that hypothesis and look at each of those individually in a separate section in the writing of a paper. Summarize the evidence critically. Just be very, make sure the evidence is valid. Make sure it's valid. Make sure it's truthful. Make sure it's from good sources. Organize it. And as you're organizing, examine relationships with other parts of the evidence. And then present these arguments with all the skills you've used here with learning about critical thinking. Present your arguments in a way that you give what you're going to prove, then your evidence for what you're proving, and then the conclusions of what you're proving. That's going to be the basic form of all papers. What I want to prove, the evidence I am going to show to prove it, and then what the conclusion being what I have proven. And to a certain extent, that's also kind of be repeated throughout the paper in each paragraph, in each section as well. So avoiding poor and unclear writing, it's definitely hard work. It's like building a wall, one brick at a time. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun at times. But when it is done, it will be rewarding and it will be thrilling to see that you have made this creation of and have followed after the footsteps of the creator in making something. So do your best at writing, and we thank you for being here. Do your best at being a good writer, and we thank you for being here. And do your best at being a critical writer, and we also thank you for being here. We will see you next time. Have a good rest of your day, and may God bless.